This morning, we are going to conclude our series in the book of Proverbs. We have been looking at various topics in Proverbs since May, and trying to see how they relate to our lives. And this morning, we want to finish this series. I could spend years in the book of Proverbs. There are so many verses, so many topics, so many truths that just help everyday life. I hope what I've done is to give you some truth to help you with your life and to cause you to want to dig deeper into this book. This morning, we're going to finish with a topic I call the lure of the dollar. And what the book of Proverbs says about chasing after the dollar bill. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we pray that you would indeed open our hearts this morning. Teach us your word, and we will bring you praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The lure of the dollar. Do you know that money can make you sick? Yeah, it really can. And I'm not just talking about chasing after it. I'm not talking about working for it. I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm just talking about the dollar bill itself. I think I have one in my wallet. I have a few in my wallet. This dollar bill, just by holding on to it, can make you sick. At the University of Louisville, they did a study. And the study showed that 13% of coins and 42% of paper money carries disease-producing organisms on them. So just holding a dollar bill in your hand can make you sick. Therefore, as your pastor, I don't want you to be sick, so just go to your wallets, empty them out, give them to me, and you won't have to take a chance of getting sick. They, WKOX, did a little test, I guess, which drew 6,000 full-tilt crazy people. Their test, their game was, what was the most outrageous thing you would do for $10,000? Think about it. Someone to give you $10,000, what would you be willing to do? Well, the winner of the contest was a guy out of Indiana named Jay. He consumed. An 11-foot birch sapling. Leaves, roots, bark, everything for $10,000. As you might have guessed, he did get sick. He covered his tree with French dressing to help it go down. I guess the bark is worse than the bite. I didn't say that, did I? I want to talk about four actions when it comes to the lure of the dollar that we need to think about. Number one, reject unbiblical ways of earning money. Reject unbiblical ways of earning. You know, in America, you can earn money just about any kind of way. I watched an interview one time with this guy who was earning money by selling drugs. They said, well, why do you sell drugs? He said, because I can make more money selling drugs than I can working at McDonald's. So does that make it okay? Do we just sit back and think to ourselves, which is the way I can make the most money and then go do it, and it doesn't matter what I do, there are no ethics, there's no standard of morality, I'll just do whatever I can make money at. Well, the Bible says, God says we ought to reject ways of making money that are unbiblical, ways of making money that are just purely wrong. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, it says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Why don't you notice those words in verse 19? It says, such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. This is a father speaking to his son, and he says to his son, look, if people come to you and they invite you to go along with them to lie in wait to steal from someone the goods that they have, do not go with them. Why? For what they seek is unjust gain. What is unjust gain? Well, unjust gain is money acquired by theft or deceit. So if you go and you work a so-called good job, but your boss says, look, we're going to make more money for the company if you lie. We're going to make more money for the company if you deceive. Then do what I tell you to do. Any money acquired by theft or deceit is unjust gain. You know, we're seeing that far more people are shopping through the internet than are actually going to stores anymore. And we see the way that we buy things is changing. But there's one thing that has not changed. You know that you pay far more money for anything you buy because people in the stores are stealing. Not just people walking into the store and taking out things that they haven't paid for, but the employees who are working in stores are stealing from their employers. I think it is really sad in America that we've lost the mom and pop store. We've lost all the little stores when small businesses actually owned the store, and they cared about what they did. People don't care anymore. You know, you have a problem, and you call the store, or you call the bank, or you go back to where you bought something, you tell them, have you a problem? The average person doesn't really care because they don't think it affects their job, so they could care less what's going on anymore. We signed up for the newspaper, and not the everyday paper, but for the Sunday paper. And 3/4 of the paper we were supposed to receive, we weren't getting. We began to think that somebody was coming on our porch and stealing our paper, because usually we'd go out after we got home from church and we would go and get our paper, and it wasn't there. So we thought, well, let's change what we're doing. If someone's stealing our paper, let's go out before we go to church and see if it's there. Well, it wasn't there then either. So we called the newspaper. We said, look, we had to leave it on this machine. You know, because you don't get anyone anymore. So we left it on the machine. We said, we're not getting any of our paper. Will someone call us about this? Never got a call. So we waited 2 more weeks, and we finally called in again, and we got somebody. We said, you know, we're not getting our paper. We really want to get the Sunday paper, but we're not getting it. And we're really not sure if we want to keep it. The person on the other end said, oh, that's okay. Okay, we'll cancel your paper. And I thought, you know, in the old days, the person on the other end of the phone would say, well, what can I do to help you to make you keep your paper? They don't care anymore. So we canceled our paper. We don't get it anymore. We'd like to get it, but we weren't getting it, so we just got rid of it. Back in the days in mom and pop store, people cared. They cared about making sure what they sold you was good. They did what they could to make sure things were right. And we still have a lot of small businesses around these days, but nowhere near what we used to have. So people go into them, and they think it's not going to hurt their job, so they'll steal from the people they work for. And then people, the rest of us who go and shop, will hide things when they walk out. In fact, it's getting so brazen anymore. I know of a couple of instances where people have gone in stores, and they've filled their basket. Instead of going over to where you would check out, they just went out the door, and they didn't really even care. It's the world that we're living in. The lure of the dollar. A willingness to do whatever we can just to get a little bit more of it. just have some more so we can buy more things and get more things that really doesn't even make us happy. Unjust gain. Gaining by stealing, gaining by lying, it's not worth it. In fact, turn over to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 2. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit. In other words, there's no value in making money if you have to do it in a wicked way. So if you're stealing, if you're deceiving, if you're lying, you're gaining it in a wicked way, there's no profit in that. Think about it. Was Judas' 30 pieces of silver worth it? In the Old Testament, Ahab went and had Naboth killed, and she stole his vineyard because the king wanted it. Later, God took his life. Was Naboth's vineyard, Naboth's field, worth it? You look around at people that make money and maybe have more money than you, but they do it in ways that are wrong, and they gain more than you have, but in the end, the reality is, it's not worth it. It doesn't profit, it says here. Why don't you think about that? Every time you are tempted to do something wrong so you can have another dollar in your pocket, you need to turn to yourself, look in the mirror and say, this is not worth it. It will not profit you in the end. In fact, if you gain money by doing it in wrong ways, I want you to know you're going to lose it very fast. Look at chapter 13, verse 11. Money gained in the wrong way does not last. 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle. But whoever gathers little by little will increase it. You know, get-rich-quick schemes or making money in some way that, you know, you get it really fast. It's going to dwindle away. Gain dishonestly sooner or later, it's not going to last. Beware of the get-rich-quick schemes. They just don't work. Turn over to chapter 15 and verse 6. Not only does it not bring value, not only does it not profit, but I want you to know that it brings trouble. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. The word trouble here is a word that is used of disturbed water. You know, if you go to a lake or you go to a bowl of water and it's just really calm, the surface, there's no movement, and you take a glass or maybe you take your finger and you dip your finger in the water and that drop falls down on the water and the water begins to move, it's disturbed. That is the word that is used here. It is used of throwing things into confusion and distress. I think of Achan in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 7. God told the Israelites when they went into the first city in the promised land to make sure that they gave everything back to God and that they didn't touch anything from themselves. Well, a guy by the name of Achan, he didn't like that. He wanted some of the goods. So with the help of his family, he stole some of the goods that were in the city and he hid them in his tent. And God's judgment fell on his life. See, not only does dishonest money or wicked money not last, but it brings trouble into your life. You're always wondering if you're going to get caught. You're always wondering if they're right behind you and going to catch you. It brings trouble into your life. Skip over to chapter 21. Proverbs 21 and verse 6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. just another way of saying what it did in the other verse, that money does not last. It is a fleeting vapor. It goes away quickly. You know, you take a shower in the morning, you get one of those steamy showers, and the whole bathroom fills up with steam, and you hit the fan in your bathroom, and it sucks all that steam out of your bathroom. It's a fleeting vapor. Money gained by lying, by a lying tongue, dwindles away. It goes away as a vapor goes away. Chapter 28, verse 22. Proverbs 28, 22. A stingy man hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him. Wicked men, stingy men, lying men, thieving men. The word stingy here literally means an evil eye. Chases after money, not knowing that the next step is poverty. I find it interesting that those who seek money and try to build their own wealth and are unwilling to give any of it away because they're trying to have more for themselves often end up with nothing. And those often who have what they have just kind of give it away. No matter how much they have, they may have very little, but they just give it away. It seems that those people always have more. If you're stingy, you'll come to poverty. If you give away, God blesses. So all these verses are saying, and I could go to so many more verses, that we need to reject unbiblical ways of making money and make sure that when we make money, we do it in a biblical way or in a right way and not an unbiblical way. Number two, don't put your trust in your bank account. You know, once you have a little money, be very careful that you don't put your trust in your bank account. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 11. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall, it is his imagination. So will the rich sometimes think of their money? Well, think for a moment that you have a city, and outside the city are everyone who hates you, and they want to destroy you, and they want to take your life. So you say to yourself, what I'm going to do is I'm going to build walls around my city to make sure nobody can get in. And I'll stack soldiers up on those walls, and I'll build them big and high, and nobody's going to get into me. I'm going to be safe. So you begin to work on your walls, brick by brick, wood in between, a little window so you can make sure you can see out if the people come after you. And you build these things high and wide to make sure nobody's going to get into your walls. Then you sit inside your city and you say to yourself, I'm safe. And then lo and behold, they build rockets and they build bombs and they blow all your walls down and they come over the top of your walls because they parachute in from planes and your city is no longer strong. See, sometimes we look at our bank account. We look at our wallet. We look at how much money we have and then we say to ourselves, now I'm safe. Now I don't have to worry. Boy, when I didn't have money, I had to worry all the time. When I was living from checkbook or from paycheck to paycheck, I always had to worry whether I had enough to pay my bills. Now I got money, I don't have to worry at all. Now I'm safe. I want you to know your bank account's never safe. The money you have is never safe. If you live your life thinking, I got enough money, now I'm safe, and I can sit back and everything's going to be okay, you've reached a point in your life exactly opposite of what God wants to see in your life. God wants you to trust in Him. God wants you to put all your trust in Him. Whether you have a dollar bill or no money, whether you have $1 million or a dollar bill, God wants you to put your trust in Him and not your bank account. See, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 that If you build your money up on this earth, moth and rust and thieves can break in and steal, and your money can just dwindle away. But if you put your trust in God, then no matter what happens in life, you know that God's going to watch over you. There's a great verse in one of the Psalms that says, as the psalmist looked out and looked at all the troubles of life, said that, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. What he was saying is that when your life is right with God, God takes care of you. God always watches over you. You can put your trust in God. He's a far better place to trust than your bank account or your wallet. Don't put your trust in your bank account. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 28. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. If you trust in your riches, you will fall. We begin to trust in our riches, we can fail in so many ways. Misplaced priorities. If we lose our money, we begin to blame God for what has happened. We fall into all sorts of emotional difficulty and troubles. We think we're going to build up our bank accounts or checking accounts. The next thing you do, you turn around and it's all gone. We look back in the history of America and we can see there were times in America where the very richest of the rich lost everything they had. Isn't it interesting that so often people hate the rich but are trying to become rich? And once they become rich, they often lose the riches. Don't put your trust in how much money you have. It's simply not a place to trust. Turn over to Proverbs 27. Proverbs chapter 27, beginning in verse 23. He says, know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. He's saying, look, you need to think about, this is a farm, or think about your crop, think about your animals. Make sure that your farm is well taken care of, because what you have may not last. Verse 24, for riches do not last. And does a crown endure to all generations? And the grass is gone and the new growth appears and the vegetation of the mountains is gathered. The lands will provide you with clothing and the goats the price of a field. There will be enough goat's milk for you, your food, for the food of your household and the maintenance of your girls. In other words, make sure that you're watching over your job where you work. Why? Because what you have may be lost. Do not trust in your bank account. Look right over the page to chapter 29 and verse 3. 29:3, he who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. You know, not only can you lose the money you have, but you can squander it. You can spend money in ways that makes you lose what you have. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to lose what you have and how hard it is to gain it back? How easy it is to lose what's in your checking account and how hard it is to build it up. You know, you misspend your money just one time in a month and you get so far behind on your bills that everything can be all messed up. One of the ways we squander our wealth is going out to eat. Yeah, you decide you're not going to cook food, so you go out to eat, and you spend money going out to eat, and you wonder where your money went. It's not wrong to go out to eat. It's just the way that often people spend money they don't have. You know, you think of the prodigal son. Prodigal son said to his father, I want to go out and live life. Give me my inheritance. So his father gave him his inheritance, gave him all that he would get if when his father died. And it didn't take long before he lost everything he had. You look at all these people who won the lottery, and so many of them lose everything they have. You look at these people who make money by Hollywood or through athletics, you know, professional football players or basketball players. The other day I read an article, and it listed all the football players, mostly football players, some basketball players, that filed for bankruptcy. These were guys who were making millions of dollars every single year, and they filed for bankruptcy. We can squander our money. You can find two people making the exact same amount of money, and this person's paying all their bills, and this person is living in poverty, not being able to pay their bills. What's the difference between the two? Each is making the same money. The difference is how they spend their money. We must not only consider how we make our money, we must also consider how we spend our money when we think about the lure of the dollar. Turn over with me to Psalm 62. I talked about where we ought to put our trust. Psalm 62 is a great psalm about this very issue. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress that shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you, all of you, attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together like lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this. The power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work. Put no trust in extortion, robbery. Put no trust in riches. Set not your heart on them. Bible says over and over, God says over and over, beware that you don't put your trust in your bank account, that you don't put your trust in your riches, that you don't put your trust in money. God alone is worthy of our trust. Number three, don't wear yourself out for the extra dollar. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23. Don't wear yourself out for an extra dollar. Proverbs chapter 23, I want to begin reading in verse 1. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, observe carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. The word toil means to work to the point of exhaustion. Do not work to the point of exhaustion to acquire wealth. In other words, do not wear yourself out to become rich. Have enough wisdom to know when to stop. Have enough wisdom to know when to desist. Because if you cast your eyes on riches, it sprouts wings and it's gone. Think about it. Is it worth it to wear yourself out just to become rich? Just to have a little bit more of this, what this world has to offer? Money certainly doesn't buy happiness. People think, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get rich and I'm going to make something of myself and I'm going to have a lot of money and then I'm going to be happy. It doesn't work that way. Listen to some statements of some of the richest, most famous people who ever to live. Here's what they have said. I've made millions. Take that back. I have made many millions, but they have brought me no happiness, said John Rockefeller. Another said, the care of $200 million. What would that be like? $200 million. Here's what he said. The care of $200 million is enough to kill anyone. There is no pleasure in it, said someone who had that much money. Said another, I am the most miserable man on earth. Andrew Carnegie said, millionaires seldom smile. Someone has said, modern man is frantically trying to earn money to buy things he is too busy to enjoy. Isn't that the truth? I said this, I guess it was on Sunday night a few weeks back, but all of us need to know when to go home. We all need to know when to go home. You know, when do you need to stay at work to make enough money to do the things you want to do the things you need to do? And when is it time to go home? When is it time to say no to overtime? And when is it time to say no, if you're self-employed, to go home? Is it worth losing your family over having a little extra money? Is it worth losing your children? Is it worth your relationship with God? Is it worth a good name? Don't wear yourself out for an extra dollar. We need to learn. We need to know when it's time to go home. When we're working so hard to make a little extra that we're losing our own family. Now, I've learned something about the family. The hours you lose, you never get back. You know, as your children grow, you think to yourself, well, I'll make up for it. You know what? You can't make up for it. Because the hours you lose, you will never get back. And they grow up so fast, don't they? Children grow up so fast. And if you miss the time you ought to spend with them, you don't get it back. And as I look at life, I've seen people make lots of money and lose their children. In fact, I've seen pastors build gigantic churches. And even some not so gigantic, but they've spent their entire life at church, working with the people at church, spending all their time thinking life at church, that they've lost their own kids. I want you to know it's not worth it. Whether it's something, quote, spiritual, or whether it's just making money, it is not worth losing your family. You got to know when it's time to go home. Don't wear yourself out for extra money. It's simply not worth it. Let's go back to the scripture reading this morning. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. We're not going to put our trust in money. We're not going to earn it in dishonest ways or illegal ways. We're not going to put our trust in it. We're not going to wear ourselves out for it. But what do we do with what we have? Whether in your wallet there's $10 or whether in your wallet there's $1,000, what do you do with the money, the things that you have? Well, number four this morning, honor God with your money. Honor God with your money. I read this morning a scripture reading, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. I'd like us now to look at verse 9. honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. The first fruits of the farmer was literally the first thing he got back as he went out and worked his fields. It was that first part. So what it's saying is that we need to honor God with our money, but not just our money. We are to honor God with the first part of our money. The Bible talks about the tithe, the first tenth, giving it back to God. But it's more than just that. It's giving God the first portion of all that we have and everything that we have, making sure that we honor God by giving to him first, not last, not second, not paying all our bills and then giving God what's left over, but taking what we have in the first part of what we have and honoring God with that, giving it back to him. But not just that. For notice that the second first phrase qualifies the first phrase and says the first part of your wealth or your produce, but it does not negate the first phrase. For notice the first phrase says, honor the Lord with your wealth. In other words, honor God with all that you have, and then make sure that you honor God with the first part of what you have. So we honor God when we give the first part back to God through the local church for serving in ministry, but we also honor God with what we keep back for ourselves. People sometimes say, why should I give God a tenth of all that I have? That's too much to give to God. But the reality is, all that we have is God's. And God wants us to honor him not only what we give to him in the offering, but God wants us to honor him also with what we keep in our pocket. Someone has said, it's peculiar how a dollar can be so big when it goes to church and so small when it goes to church. Think about that. Are you honoring God with all that you have? Now, let me give you a couple thoughts on that. We honor God by paying our taxes. Oops. I didn't say that. Romans chapter 13, God says we honor him by paying our taxes. And realize when God said that, the emperor at the time was a guy by the name of Nero, who hated Christians, who killed Christians. Yet God says to honor him by paying our taxes. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says we honor God by taking care of our family. Psalm 37 and verse 21 says that we honor God by paying our bills. You know, if you're not paying your bills, you're not honoring God. And if you are a Christian, if you name the name of Jesus Christ and you are a follower of Jesus, you need to honor him by paying your bills. Don't make a whole bunch of bills and then not pay them. You honor him by paying them. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says we honor God by being generous, by helping those in need, by helping those who have less than you have, by helping those who are going through difficulties. We honor God by being generous, not stingy. Honor God with your wealth. Honor God with your money. I find it interesting that in America, so many of us say we're not wealthy. Take a ride around the world and see what people have outside of America. Turn with me to one last passage. Turn to Proverbs chapter 30. I love this statement in the Word of God. I think it's something every one of us ought to pray. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is needful for me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. The prayer of the writer of Agur was twofold. He says to God, remove falsehood and lying from me. And secondly, give me neither poverty nor riches. Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. God, I don't want to be poor, and God, I don't want to be rich. If I become poor, I may steal and dishonor you. If I become rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? Beware of the lure of the dollar. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you provide. You provide for our needs. We thank you, Lord, that your promise is that if we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, you make sure that our needs are met. Lord, help us to beware of the lure of the dollar. Help us, Lord, to keep a right heart towards money and things. I pray, Lord, we would never, ever do anything that would dishonor your name. And I pray, Lord, even now that we might honor you with our first fruits, that you may be praised. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll ask our ushers to come forward as we take our morning offering. If you are visiting with us this morning, you can take a visitor card, fill it out, and drop it in the offering. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we give now, we pray, Lord, your blessing on what